round four. Watch this. Perfection for the Michigan Wolverines. Or maybe perfect imperfections. Or imperfect perfections. Chop it up however you want. Michigan 15-0. The dominance that led to a championship. The Jim Harbaugh legend growing. But where is it going? Nobody knowing, except maybe Harry Lyles, who joins us from title game last night to Plasma 2 today. Rest of the panel is in trouble.
Wow. Doing his job.
And you look bad. Ooh,
bonus detection last night, too.
The history of this Michigan team, the future of Jim Harbaugh, the flexible use of the word adversity and distraction, so interesting. It's easy to get lost in it, but we have to start with the 60 minutes of football last night. How Michigan dominated Washington for their third title ever. It came suddenly, then gradually. Edwards, then Corum feasting. The front seven devouring Michael Penix Jr. Domination is the word I use because 15-0 is rarefied air. And for the season, they led or tied for all but 41 minutes, leading every game at half. That's something 15-0 Georgia and Clemson, Alabama didn't do in the CFP. That's 130-year-old we played high school teams type of dominance from a college football team. So, Harry, you were there. The number one reason Michigan hailed the victory last night.
They've been using the formula that they have had all season, which is playing a brand of football that is tested throughout time that upholds. They do not turn the ball over. They do not make mistakes. They don't shoot themselves in the foot. They play really good defense, and they're going to make your life very, very miserable. Defensively, they were getting to Michael Penix. I don't know if you guys saw the video of him walking into the tunnel after the game, but he was extremely beat up. Like, they got after him in a way that no other team had gotten to him this college football season. And then we saw an offensive performance from them in the first quarter where Washington just wasn't prepared for that, honestly. Like, the way that we have seen Washington's Joe Moore Award-winning offensive line, which is handed out to the best offensive line in college football, they beat them up in a way which, mind you, Michigan won that award in 21 and 22 and obviously felt like they had something to prove in this game. And you saw a performance from Donovan Edwards, which is a reason a lot of people were high on this Michigan team at the beginning of the season to begin with, because he ran twice for 81 yards. So this is a Michigan team that plays a brand of football where they grind you out. They're going to hurt you on defense, and it's going to result in something that you saw last night, which was one of the best teams that we've seen throughout college football get grinded out to a dust.
30 points for Harry Lyles Jr. Wow. Tim Kalishaw, if you could take it down to one thing that Michigan did last night to beat Washington the way they did, what was it?
I would just say their defensive front destroyed Washington as quickly as they did Alabama's a week ago. Now, they did plenty of things on offense, too. They didn't really do it, move the ball consistently on offense, but they had four really big runs, and that was more than enough for this game. But that defense, Mason Graham, maybe we should redefine the Heisman and talk about him for next year's, Heisman front runner. He just destroys people up front. And those defensive backs, they tackle, they cover, and they hit you hard, and they make life miserable for you. So that is one of the better defenses. They deserve the same kind of acclaim we gave Georgia's defenses for their championship.
Pablo Torre, to you.
Yeah, I mean, this was a defense, Tony, that is one of the best of the modern era of college football. And what we saw in this game was an NFL-style approach, especially in the secondary. I was talking to Dominic Foxworth, our friend, former NFL cornerback. What he was impressed by, and I just want to plagiarize him here a little bit, is that they confused Michael Penix Jr. in a way that we just have not seen. We saw him missing passes to open dudes. And they like to do that thing where they throw to space. They have a very coordinated passing attack. We just have not seen him look this unprepared for Michigan and potentially for the NFL as a result of the way that they were mixing cover two, cover three, these press coverages, confusing him in a way that also made you feel like, oh, wow, Washington is being outcoached as well. And so to me, it's the coaching staff and it's the defensive secondary that is the tip of the spear here that made an offense that was one of the best in, of course, the entire country look pedestrian more often than
not. Marcel Louis-Jacques.
Yeah, it was a masterclass in taking away what your opponent does well. Washington loves those downfield passes that turn 50-50 balls into more like 70-30 or 80-20. But last night, Michael Penix Jr. on passes 15 yards or more downfield, 2-for-11 for 59 yards. After exploding against Texas last week on passes in that same category, he was totally lost last night against, like they've said, one of the best defenses in the country. Then on the other side of the ball, a sign of a dominant offensive line is yards before contact. Last night, Michigan had almost 5 times as many yards before contact as Washington had rushing yards total. I thought Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum were going to be maybe the best running back tandem in the country entering the season, and they showed what they could do last night. And it's a time to look in the mirror for Washington, because those are the type of corn-fed, dairy farm boys you're about to play in the Big Ten starting next year. You better expand that pipeline, because last night shows you might not be ready.
15-0. And now how history sees it all, because it's not just, of course, about 15-0. Here's Jim Harbaugh after the game.
The off the field issues, we're innocent. And we stood strong and tall because we knew we were innocent.
A championship in a year where a head coach served 2 suspensions and multiple staffers were let go for the sign-stealing scandal that took over the sport, and an NCAA investigation is still ongoing. And may I add, adversity and distraction, words that might need a follow-up definition the way they've been used over the last couple of weeks. Tim Kalischuk, how should history view this Michigan team?
Well, I don't view them with any asterisks, but I also don't view them as innocent, as they tried to proclaim several times last night, including Harbaugh. An innocent team doesn't vigorously file this lawsuit and say they can't wait for their day in court, and 48 hours later they pull back that lawsuit and they've already gotten rid of several people on the staff. I don't think those charges had anything to do with them winning 15 games the way they did, but let's not talk about adversity and innocence.
Harry Lowes Jr.
Yeah, look, I think as far as the adversity piece goes, that sort of helped Michigan in a way, because especially in today's climate with college football, it's sort of easy to lose a locker room or for guys to butt heads and things like that. That team united over that. Now, that doesn't mean the rest of us have to accept it, because there is no innocence because of all the things that we know did happen with the suspension, with the pulling of the lawsuit, with the firing of coaches. But you also have to give it to Michigan. Like, they were winning games when they were accused of doing what they were doing, and they were also winning games after that when they were playing the better competition.
So you do view this as adversity and a challenge met by the team. It sounds like you're buying what Harbaugh is saying, not in the innocence part, but in the overcome.
Yes, the team 100% bought into that. You could see that on the field last night after the game, even talking to Blake Corum's dad. He was like, hey, like, this is a team that was really bought in and really felt like they were playing for something, which is harder to do nowadays.
Marcel, you're shaking your head no.
Just is.
Yeah, because Michigan is like that meme where the guy is on a bike and sticks the stick in his spoke and then gets mad at the stick when he falls. You did this to yourself. No, I'm not going to see them with an asterisk, but I'm not going to feel sorry for them. You can unite about that stuff in the locker room, but why are you dragging us into it? I don't want to see that. I don't want to hear you crying and see you crying after your head coach is suspended for something your staffer did. That was your man's. Like, you did it. Why do we need to hear it? They're a good enough team without all that drama. I just wish that we could have viewed this season without the extracurricular stuff, because this truly was one of the more dominant champions that we've seen in recent memory.
Yeah, every Goliath, Tony, in sports, in life, wants to be a David. Every overdog wants to be the little engine that could, and that's what we saw from a team that was 15-0, one of the great defenses that we've ever seen. That's why the reason I mentioned the Houston Astros here, Tony, is actually as a compliment. Because, yes, there's the sign-stealing, cheating stuff, and we could debate the magnitude of how actually impactful that was in college football versus baseball, but they didn't need to do it. That's where I land on this team. You guys are so good. Why are you even doing 500-page, manifestos about how to steal signs and all that stuff? Like, to me, they were just so good. They never needed the stuff they got in trouble for that made them feel like they was, them against the world.
We'll move along. One more story on Jim Harbaugh. He refused to answer questions about his future, only to say that he hopes he has a future. Pablo, oddsmaker me, chances Harbaugh is NFL bound now.
Oh, I'll take Harbaugh to the NFL at like a 75%. odds right now, Tony, because Jim Harbaugh, what is there left to do? Michigan for him was, of course, it was the place that meant the most to him, that clearly checked a giant emotional, familial, biological box in his soul. But the way it ended in the NFL with the San Francisco 49ers, you cannot tell me that that guy, as hyper-competitive as he is, as weird as he is, doesn't think that there is another challenge left for him to take on. And that, to me, is the NFL quite clearly.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, do you believe Harbaugh is NFL-bound now after this championship?
Yeah, I do. I think he's finally checked off his boxes at Michigan. First, it was proving, can you beat Ohio State? He's done that over the past few years. Then, can you win a national title? That box is checked as well. There's some attractive openings now in the NFL for him to really, you know, he's proven that he's had success. You don't always think that a good college coach is going to translate to the NFL, but Jim Harbaugh is that rare coach who can succeed at both levels. Michigan is one of those schools that you really don't leave. Like, it's a better job than the NFL, but in terms of unfinished business left at the pro level, I think he jumps and he wants to win.
And you said attractive jobs. Link me right now. Where do you see Harbaugh landing?
I could see him in either Tennessee or Atlanta, specifically Atlanta. I think they've got the pieces. There's some talent there for him to build on. Needs a quarterback, but there's some talent there on both sides of the ball. Love what they did on defense.
Do you believe Harbaugh to the NFL is a done deal?
Wouldn't be mad at that suggestion, by the way, Marcel. I do think it is a done deal. And the thing that's interesting with Jim Harbaugh, he was, what, like 6 yards away from winning the Super Bowl against his own brother when Beyonce turned the lights off in the Superdome, right? Like, if you're Jim Harbaugh, you almost got kicked out of the place that you love the most. Like, it was not that long ago when we thought he might get fired at Michigan, and he just brought them a national championship. So if you are him, why not try to go back and accomplish that? Because you were so, I cannot imagine that he was at any lower point in his career than when he almost got fired at Michigan. So to get here now, why not go try and win a Super Bowl in the NFL?
And Tim Kalish, I'm still playing odds makers here, so give me the percentage that Harbaugh is NFL bound.
Oh, I think he's 70% NFL bound. I've always said I wouldn't trade one of the top 10 college jobs for the crapshoot of the NFL, but it's changing in college. Next year, winning at Michigan doesn't mean beating Ohio State. It means beating Ohio State, Washington, Oregon, USC, and UCLA just to get out of the Big Ten and win 3 or 4 playoff games. So it's very different now, but it's mostly the challenge. He did well last time. I'd like to see him stalking that Commander sideline with that number 2 pick Washington has. He can get almost any quarterback he wants.
You mentioned college is not going to be the same next year. Just as we go to one more thing. This is the last year of the 4-team playoff. There is the conference upheaval. And of course, well, the bowl games needed upheaval themselves after the way some teams refused to even play this year. This time next year, will college football feel different to you, Tim Kalish? How?
It'll feel very different. And we had a number of polls toward the end of the year where if you take Texas and Oklahoma and Washington and Oregon, where they're going, 11 of the top 12 teams were in the Big Ten of the SEC. And that's what the whole story is going to be
and
about.
Harry, is that a better place or a worse place, I guess, in your mind, in your opinion right now?
It's worse in the sense that the bowl games are going to matter less. The rivalries like Ohio State, Michigan at the end of the season are going to mean less. But on-campus playoff games, that atmosphere, beautiful.
We'll be back. Buy or sell next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from above the Heineken River Deck.
NFL news of the day came out of nowhere this morning. Tennessee Titans firing Mike Vrabel as head coach after his second straight losing season. Now 6 job openings in the NFL. But for Tennessee to fire Vrabel, who was coach of the year 2 years ago, and for New England potentially to be thinking about moving on from Bill Belichick, some people are connecting dots. Tim, buy or sell the Titans firing Vrabel?
Well, I'm selling this. Even if you think the Titans have gotten a little stale, it's because of moves their bad general managers have made. Let's trade A.J. Brown to Philadelphia because Treylon Burks is big and strong. He can replace him. But I don't worry about Mike Vrabel because I suspect within a few days he will be the head coach of the New England Patriots.
So you see, you're not just connecting dots. You're already there. You drew the line.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why not. I don't know why they wouldn't.
Aaron Lowes Jr.
Yeah, I'm selling this move. I feel like Mike Vrabel has been one of the coaches in the NFL that has consistently done more with less. Like, I understand that they've had 2 consecutive losing seasons, but I mean, when you look at that team and that roster, like, what else is he supposed to do with that? I feel like he's really gotten the most out of his players, and honestly, I'm with him. I feel like I could see him going to New England and the Titans really regretting this.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, Vrabel to New England, just an easy line for you to draw?
Yeah, first of all, I'm totally selling getting rid of Mike Vrabel at this point. Sure, I get that they have to rebuild, but you've got a promising quarterback and you've got a coach who's proven to do more with poor talent. I don't understand what the line of thinking is here, but yeah, their most egregious sin of all is that now they've opened the direct pipeline for him to return to New England Patriots where he played his NFL career. And if you're Bill Belichick, if you thought you had any shot at staying on, this had to be the kiss of death. He
really?
Is gone.
Wow, all right. You guys never cease to amaze me. Just because Vrabel's available, does that mean Bill Belichick's going to be fired by New England, Pablo Torre?
Probably. I do think this whole story, Tony, goes right to the top. And I mean by that, like, the owner of the Titans, who had the coach of the year in Mike Vrabel, the coach of the year 2 years ago, the most urologically committed coach in NFL history, by the way. And now I just don't think they have a plan, right? It's one thing to get rid of a coach because your standards are so high. It's another thing to say, we want to get rid of him because fill in the blank here because we don't seem to have a coherent, rational strategy. Not having a plan as to what you're doing, the most worrisome part of all of this, that is a top-down concern.
Mm-hmm. All right, I need to say this. As of our tape time, Bill Belichick, still the coach of the New England Patriots, still considered the greatest coach in the history of the sport. And everybody's like, oh, you can get Vrabel. Let's get him right now. We'll move on. Watching the title game last night, talk about coming out of nowhere. 2 injuries in the NBA. The video of Tyrese Halliburton came over. He was doing the splits and being carried off the court. They're calling it a hamstring strain. They'll reevaluate in 2 weeks. And then even more brutal, the release from the Grizzlies. Ja Morant out for the year. Surgery on his shoulder needed. This is after he injured it, allegedly in practice on Saturday. Year just started for him, now it's over. Multiple lost years for him. Pablo, what does this mean for Morant? And is there any fear he'll get back to being Morant when he does come back?
Yeah, you gotta have fear when it comes to a surgery like this. My mourning here is the same thing that I said when he came back from the suspension. I just wanna see Ja Morant play basketball. And now he isn't, that's a bummer. The silver lining here for the Memphis Grizzlies though, Tony. They were 6-19 without him. This way, at least when he comes back after the season, they'll have a new draft pick because they'll be pecking high because they'll be a bad team. And so his long-term future with the team, a little sunnier because of this, actually, but the present, obviously.
Marcel Louis-Jacques.
Hey, 1996, David Robinson breaks his foot, opens the door for the Spurs to pick number 1. They grab Tim Duncan, and the rest is history. I'm not saying it's a one-to-one fit. I'm saying there is precedent for an ex machina like this helping a team on the cusp of a championship.
An ex machina. Oh, excuse us. A man dressed like that, like an arch villain in our movie here, absolutely can use Jose Machina. Harry Lyles Jr., please.
Yeah, Tony, honestly, this just stinks because I wanted to see Ja Morant, like Pablo said, just get back to playing basketball. His story was so great, and obviously with everything that happened last year, you just want to see a guy get back on track, right? He's one of the best young American basketball players that we've got. But I also do want to mention that Tyrese Halliburton injury. He has had such a good year, and we all know basketball means more in the state of Indiana, and just really want to make sure that he stays on that track because that franchise and that state really deserves it as well.
Yeah, with Ja, I mean, when you think about high-flying players, you think more about knee injuries or foot injuries that really limit him. This, you know, is a serious injury, but I think he'll be okay next year. And getting back to Marcel's point, any shot of them making the playoffs pretty much went out the window with this injury. They get a draft pick to add to Morant and Bane and the other good young players. That's an interesting team for next year.
Any shot of showdown went out the window for Kalashaw. All right, once. Harry Lyles Jr. and Marcel Louis Jacques showed up dressed like gangsters today.
Cotton candy, baby.
Unbelievable.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Harry Lyles Jr., Marcel Louis Jacques, good luck in showdown.
I had a conversation with Adam Silver. I just told him, Adam, it's too much for me. Like, it's all becoming too much for me, and I'm going to retire. And Adam said, you're making a very rash decision, and I won't let you do that.
Hearing Draymond Green acknowledge that on his podcast as he's getting ready to come back this weekend. Harry, how'd you hear it?
Tony, I believe every word of him, and this is why Adam Silver is a great commissioner. When you hear his response, I don't want you making a rash decision. That's literally why they pulled him off of the basketball court, to stop making those rash decisions. So hopefully now when we see Draymond Green get back on the court, we could see the more normal, less hitting Draymond Green.
And Marcel?
Like, what was becoming too much for you, Draymond? Assaulting people on the court and getting in trouble for it? If you were seriously considering retirement for this, you probably should have just retired. And if I'm the Warriors, I'm a little concerned about how easy it was for him to try to come to that decision. But shout out to Adam Silver for having players' best interest in mind.
I understand how that could be an impression you could have, Marcel. But here's where my mind went. You hear people getting called to the principal's office, however you want to use the expression. You often think it's because they're getting in trouble and it's the principal speaking down to them and doing all these things. And to have this type of dialogue with somebody is only a good thing in my mind for it to play out like that for Draymond, for Silver, and for the NBA and Warriors. We'll take a Harry Lyles FaceTime now.
I'm sorry it had to be you, Marcel. So Quinshon Judkins, the number one player in the transfer portal, decided of all times, hey, I'm going to announce my commitment as soon as the final goes on the national championship, which was obviously Michigan, but it just so happened that he committed to Ohio State. So in this current changing climate of college football, it can look many different ways. We might not even know how this looks 5 years down the road, but one thing you can count on, that rivalry is always going to be great, as will many other college football rivalries, which is why our sport is so great.
Harry Lyles Jr., very impressive performance. On the field last night, confetti falling on top of him. Alarm clock, it was at 4 a.m. in Houston. Got into his seat and won the show. We'll see you tomorrow.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network,
all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.